just pray before I begin. Father God, I thank you tonight that we're able to gather here in your presence, Lord, to come to hear truths from your word that, Lord, will hopefully enlighten us, Lord God, and help us to see in this world of darkness, Lord God, what your truth says. Lord, bless me tonight as I deliver it, that your spirit, Lord God, would guide me, and that you, Lord God, would really enlighten our hearts to what is being said. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay. Thanks so many of you for making such an effort for dressing up for tonight. Been really a themed occasion. I'm speaking on the topic of Halloween, nailing our colours to the cross, and I have subtitled this, Bring Your Daughters to the Slaughter. Now, Halloween is an annual holiday celebrated each year on the 31st of October. It has its roots in old European traditions. It originated from the ancient Celtic festival of Samhain, when people would light bonfires and wear costumes to ward off ghosts. And in the 18th century, the Pope Gregory designated November the 1st as a time to honour All Saints. Soon All Saints Day would be incorporated some of the traditions of Samhain. The evening before was known as All Hallows Eve, or as we now know it, as Halloween. And over time, Halloween evolved into a day of activities like trick-or-treating, carving out the turnips for the lanterns or the pumpkins. Around the world, as days grow shorter and nights get colder, people continue to usher in season gatherings, customs, and sweet treats. Halloween's origins date back to the ancient Celtic festival of Samhain, and the Celts, who lived about 2,000 years ago, lived in Ireland. And this is obviously where the blame for the spread of Halloween, from my understanding and study of it. The day marked the end of the summer and the harvest and the beginning of the dark, cold winter nights, a time of the year that was often associated with human death. People believed that on the night before the new year, the boundary between the worlds of the living and the worlds of the dead became blurred. On that night, October the 31st, they celebrated Samhain, when it was believed that the ghosts of the dead returned to the earth. People thought the presence of the outworldly spirits made it easier for the Druids or the Celtic priests to make predictions about the future. For people entirely dependent on the volatile natural world, these prophecies were an important source of comfort and direction during the long winter nights. Druids built huge sacred bonfires where they gathered crops to burn and animals as sacrifices to their gods. And during the celebrations, the Celts wore costumes typically consisting of animal beasts' heads over their head, animal skins over their bodies, and they attempted to tell each other's fortunes. This is a crazy celebration which basically celebrates the dead and the evil spirits that apparently come to roam the earth this time. This time, and including Christians, take part in these events which have led to sinister undertones. And we'll look at this a wee bit later on, but Christians and Christian churches are now beginning to adapt in simple ways these forms of celebrations that go towards Halloween. In Irish and English traditions, people have begun to dress up in costumes and go to house trick-or-treating, asking for money, a practice that we commonly know as trick-or-treat. I did some cracker trick and treats on my day. I lived in all the estates, but one of them was Breezemount. And when we used to go trick or treating, if you didn't give us a treat, the window went in. And we'd and that by accident, I might say, we only threw the stones, but the accident, one couple of windows went through, so it was accidental. Young women believe at Halloween that they could define the name of the appearance of their future husband by doing tricks with yarn, apple paring, or mirrors. Or, you know, that stupid game where they put their head in to get the apples out. Some people look in mirrors at midnight, and that's a very scary thing, especially if you're the occult. And you see yourself looking back. It's a scary time of night to be doing those kind of things. You freak yourself out. But what people don't understand is that witchcraft has slowly penetrated the occasion, and they delight in the fact that so many young children are brought into these events. It's really sad when the witchcraft and the Wicca world celebrate in what we do. Can you understand what is happening when we may as well be sacrificing our children to Moloch? When you open up this harmful door that's all a bit of fun, you never know what might come knocking or come calling in. We, in a sense, when we teach our children to take on these events at Halloween, are presenting our children up on the altar before Moloch. It has now been a period of time where we try to scare the living daylights out of our neighbours and try to rob them of their personal belongings. The first celebrations played party pieces. They had public events, celebrated the harvest, and their neighbours would share stories of the dead and tell fortunes to each other, dance and sing, celebrating the spirits. My granddad was great at telling me really bad ghost stories at Halloween. Of course, he used to work in the graveyard, so he used to tell us that the ghosts were coming to get us and dead people walked the earth, and I was convinced that that's actually what took place at Halloween. But Halloween festivities also featured the telling of the ghost stories and the mischief of all kinds. By the middle of the 19th century, annual autumn festivities were common, but Halloween was not yet celebrated. It was only a couple of thousand years ago that it actually became to be a celebration. In America, you have what's called soul cakes. Took around about this time. I'm giving you a bit of a sort of history here as we go through this. Soul cakes became a tradition in the trick-or-treating. And during this, the poor citizens, the people who had no money, and the people who beg, would often be given food by the people who had money. And when they gave them the food, they were asked to pray for the family's dead relatives. The distribution of soul cakes in America was encouraged by the church at this time as a way to replace the ancient practice of leaving food and wine for roaming spirits. And to avoid being recognized by these ghosts, people would wear masks when they left their homes after dark so that the ghosts would mistake them for fellow spirits. So all the way here, we're looking at spirits all the time, familiar spirits, and then we're looking at trying to sort of prevent the spirits from causing us harm or danger. And they thought that offering up these so-called sacrifices that would somehow appease the spirits. The spirits must have a right laugh, by the way, at us, if they think that somehow offering up piecemeal cakes and having little bonfires and putting on scary masks is somehow going to scare the living daylights out of them or keep them away. Superstition and misconception linked to this celebration by the early church led people to make and to do some unusual things to protect themselves. Like I've already said, the church adopted. And the reason I'm using this a lot here, because I keep talking to you about the church. All the way along here in church history, you will see the church are quite happily to adapt the pagan festivals that are going on and then to partake in them. Many Christians today are guilty of what I'm going to be saying come the end of this talk. The church adopted the tradition of dressing in frightening costumes or disguises, the scary lanterns I talked about to protect themselves from the spirits that they considered evil. We have young people today running around Bangor in hideous masks. Some of them called to my door last night. And the first thing they do, and mind you, the ones last night did sing a wee song, and I sort of gave them a few quid just to get rid of them. But you know, the fact that their mothers were there and they were all dressed up and they said, "Do you want to come up for a glass of wine?" I said, no. Live behind the back of me. You know, it's seen as a fun, loving festival. There's no harm in this, is there? Nobody's doing anything. Nobody's hurting anybody. This is fine. I want you to imagine tonight that you've dressed your daughter or your son up in a lovely costume with a fetching mask, that you've sent them out with a pumpkin or a turnip with a wee candle in it with a funny face on it. And I want you to imagine that this is all just good fun. Because I want to take you back into the book of Leviticus. And I'm going to read from Leviticus specifically, and I'm going to quote a few other passages of Scripture. And I want you to tell me how funny they are when we start to go through them and bring this back to where I'm trying to get to. I'm going to read from Leviticus chapter 20, and I'm going to read from verses 2 to 5. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Again you shall say to the children of Israel, whoever of the children of Israel or the strangers who dwell in Israel, who gives any of his descendants to Moloch, he shall be put to death The people of the land shall stone him with stones. I will set my face against the man and will cut him off from his people, because he has given some of his descendants to Moloch to defile my sanctuary and profane my holy name. And if the people of the land should in any way hide their eyes from the man, when he gives some of his descendants to Moloch, and they do not kill him, then I will set my face against that man and against his family, and I will cut him off from his people and all who prostitute themselves with him to commit harlotry with Moloch. Deuteronomy 18:10 says this: "There shall not be found among you anyone who makes his son or his daughter pass through the fire, who uses divination or practices witchcraft, or one who interprets omens or a sorcerer." 2 Kings says this: "Then they make their sons and their daughters pass through the fire and practice divination and enchantments and sowed themselves to do evil in the sight of the Lord, provoking him. He made his son pass through the fire, practiced witchcraft and used divination and dealt with mediums and spirits. He did such evil in the sight of the Lord, provoking him to anger." And the last one is from Psalm 106. "But they mingled with the nations and learned their practices and served their idols, which became a snare to them. They even sacrificed their sons and their daughters to the demons." Don't know if you picked up the theme in that. You'll have heard the witchcraft practices, the offering the sons and daughters, taking the practices of false gods, and how they're going to entangle them. What I'm telling you tonight is not about witches, not about vampires or killer clowns. This is about child sacrifice. God has warned about Moloch and later Baal, who are bloodthirsty pagan gods. These gods want child sacrifice. They're also known as God of the Harvest, and this is why the association with Halloween is so significant. The kings of Israel got involved with other forms of idol worship, and they used them, and they practiced them. And even one of the kings, King Manasseh, sacrificed his son. These gods have been known in different countries through the years. And in Greece, they were known as Crum, God of the Harvest. This eventually moved to the Celts, which I looked at the start. And in Ireland, their false gods are named Suan, meaning summer's end. This same God wants the children to be passed through the fire. In fact, the trick-or-treating in those times, 2,000 years of time, that we're quite happily sending our children out to replicate and to do, were so that they could go and gather in the offerings. And then when they brought them back, they were cast into the bonfire with the children. You would not believe what they're calling the biggest Halloween party in Europe, which is taking place in Londonderry this year. Its theme is Suwan Moon. I'm not saying that people will be offering the children up for sacrifice on Halloween night, and that the dead arise and come through a portal to terrorize us. That can happen at any time. What we are doing is continuing to follow and to worship to a degree the gods and the false gods that existed from the days of the children of Israel through the little timeline that I have shown you to this day. When we go out to celebrate such activities with all the same memorabilia, with all the same outfits on, with all the same lanterns, with the scary masks, how is that any different to what they were doing in the time of the children of Israel or the Celts 2,000 years ago? There is no difference to what you are doing. You may say we're a more civilized world generally, but this world as a whole is still practicing the same old rituals and the same old false gods, and you're encouraging your children to do it. Churches are beginning to embrace this pagan season, which I find unbelievable, to say the least. You know, we've adopted the 25th of December as our Christmas date for Jesus being born. That was a pagan festival to a sun god that the Christian church adopted. You see, the Christian church from Rome follows the sun calendar. The God of Israel and his people follow the full moon for their full moons and harvests and feasts. totally different. When we follow the sun god, we pick up all the things that they have done. Not to get into a lecture on the sun god. I want to quote from the Telegraph this month, or September's Telegraph, the Telegraph, so not RB Telegraph, but the big Telegraph, September 2017. There's a bit of a quote here. Christians are encouraged to carve pumpkins with positive symbols like crosses and hearts instead of the traditional scary faces. Christian children's charity World Vision has created a God-friendly Halloween character, Patch the Pumpkin, with a heart which shines out light. Many Christians also cite the religious origin of Halloween as All Hallows' Eve. They cite. All Hallows' Eve, the day before Hallows' Day, also now known as All Saints' Day, the day when some Christians celebrate the entire church. Not us, by the way. The Reverend Julian Henderson, Bishop of Blackburn, has endorsed a Christian Halloween chocolate, which alongside the chocolate buttons offers a quiz, maze, word game, a call to buy fair trade, a prayer suggestion, a national competition with a prize, and a challenge to treat someone less well off by donating to a children's charity, end of quote. Can you see what is beginning to happen with the church? They are beginning to adopt the things that are in Halloween in a more Christian way to make it more acceptable so that they can slowly bring it in. And before the next, I don't want to be a false prophet here, but I would say within the next number of years, you will see Halloween within churches being an acceptable festival to honor and to falsely honor our God. Church is doing what it has always done and what it will always continue to do by accepting falsehoods and adapting them into church. And why? For popularity and, of course, for money. Money is the big driver behind many of the things that the church and the government, of course, endorse. This is an absolute outcry, and if not stopped, it will rot the church to its core. The church, the main church as a whole, is already rotting. But this will just speed up the process. You see, other things that the church is bringing in, like ecumenism, and other things that come under the same umbrella as worshipping all our different gods under one umbrella, and what's the problem with it? It's the biggest problem we have. It seems harmless and appears that I am a killjoy tonight. What I am saying, in a world that is a westernized part of the world, this is a fine part of the world. We don't do daft things in Britain. Yes, we do. We are still offering up sacrifices to false gods. We are still dressing to please the false gods, and we are dressing to entertain them. This, and I'm speaking to the church, by the way, tonight more than anyone else. This needs to stop. But how, when this world as a whole benefits it so economically? You have to see the money generated from Halloween. The money generated from Christmas is why so many churches get involved in it. How is this any different from the early Roman times when the false temples and the idol makers made their money? Today, as a Christian and as a Christian parent, you need to put an end to what appears to be a harmless, fun night and get your children to understand the difference between what it is to serve and love God and follow Jesus and what it is to go down the sinister roads of worshipping false gods unknowingly on Halloween night. To counter this, we have a loving Father today who loves us, who loves me, and wants us to love him alone. We have a Savior in Jesus that was the one and only sacrifice, and the only sacrifice that we will ever need. There is no need for this yearly sacrifice offered at Halloween. There is no need for the sacrifices to go on all year long by different religions. There is no need. We have the one and perfect sacrifice, and that sacrifice was Jesus. Our Father does not require us to sacrifice our sons and daughters, and yet you continue to sacrifice your sons and daughters when you dress them up, when you put them out in the streets, and when you make them go around acting like they did 2,000 years ago. There is no difference in what you're doing now and what they did now and what they did then. You are offering your children up to the slaughter. It is enough. And when will it be enough for you to stop playing the harlot? I know this is a bit extreme, a bit harsh in the language tonight, but it is a subject that needs to be driven home. That we need to understand that we cannot play the harlot with false gods and expect God to look on us lightly. I would ask you all to consider, because I know there are some people that dress their kids up and think it's harmless fun. I would ask us all to consider before Halloween night approaches,